First, I want to thank everyone for coming. It's kind of a silly thing to do, but it's not. I'm a very privileged person because 38 years ago, my friend Jack Reichenbach, who later became the president of Torah Masorah, I was learning at the time in Tifrach, which was quite a serious yeshiva near Be'er Sheva. And he said, hey, listen, back in the 60s, this was still the 60s, you were running around on campus trying to get the guys out of Vietnam. I got a guy for you. Even though I was a yeshiva guy, but I was a radical. So he introduced me to Rav Noach, and I've been a Talmud of Rav Noach for 38 years. That means another 2 years I'll begin to understand what he was all about. You know, Talmud says you don't understand for 40 years. For 38 years, I thank the Almighty that I've been his student. I've seen it, it's so clear to be a Talmud of his. And for 38 years, I beat myself up every day that I'm not serious enough, and I'm not real enough, and I'm not working hard enough in my learning. And he taught me to enjoy that too. So it says, Vayavo Avram lispod lesorov lifkosa. It says that Avram came to eulogize Sarah and to cry for her. Chazal say, Malame shalo hispida karoi, that he did not eulogize her properly. So Chaim Shmulevitz asked, so it's Avram Avinu, it's your wife, eulogize her properly. Why did you slack off in eulogizing your wife? So Chaim Shmulevitz answers that he wasn't able to because she was greater than he was, and it wasn't possible for him to fathom her greatness. And my dear friends, there's no way that we can possibly fathom the greatness of my Rebbe Rav Noach. It's not possible. Sure, a few things. His older brother, Moshe, when he was here, his grandson married Rafael Levy's daughter, Ziskin Soloveitchik. So he told me that their father, Rabbi Yitzchak Matasyahu, was a moel. And when Rav Noach was born, he was born completely mohul. He says it's very rare. Then it's male kol habayis or, and the whole house was filled with light. He says that his father said, Noach Matzachain, he found favor in the eyes of the Almighty. This kid is going to make a difference. And in fact, that's what happened. Shenis male kol ha'olam or. The whole world is now filled with his light. He was not interested in being a great scholar. He was not interested in becoming famous. He was interested in payment. He was not interested in any other thing. Things even that yeshiva guys are interested in. He wasn't interested in. He was interested in truth and only truth at any cost. I remember when the word got out that I was leaving Tifrach, people came to me and said, you know, the man's crazy and you're nuts. He's crazy. What are you going to him for? They were all wrong. I want you to know that last night, Erev Tu Bishvat. Tu Bishvat is the holiday of trees. It's a minor festival. It's usher to give a eulogy or to fast on Tu Bishvat. Unless it's a Chochom Gadol, unless it's a great scholar, Bafonov, and he's right here. Rav Hillel David Paskind, and the Novominsker Paskind, and Rav Aaron Feldman Paskind, that Rav Noach has a din of Gadol Bedor. He's the greatest personality of our generation, and even though he was not there, New York came out to eulogize Rav Noach last night, and they eulogized him. It's a statement of greatness. We don't appreciate it. The Medrash says that when Avram Avinu went to battle the four kings, he took with him four people. So they said, what are we going to do? So he says, V'yachalek aleihem laila. You two guys go that way, you two guys go that way, and I'll go up the middle. There's four kings that just beat five kings. What are we going to do? He says, we're going to throw arrows. And what happens when we run out of arrows? We're going to throw spears. And what happens when we run out of spears? We're going to throw stones. And what happens when we run out of stones? We'll throw dirt. And Chazal say the dirt turned into arrows and they defeated the four kings. The Medrash tells us that when Batya went down, the daughter of Pharaoh, and saw the basket floating in the river, and little Moshe was in there, and she was out of reach. V'tishlech es hamasa, she sent out her hand, and the hand stretched, and she brought him in. Rav Noach says, it's not miracles that create faith. It's faith that creates miracles. If you commit yourself to doing the Almighty's will, your hand will stretch, and the dirt will turn to arrows, and you'll take five guys, like he took in 1973, and I was zeichet to be amongst them, five, excuse the expression, shmendriks. I can testify that I'm not so great. And make an organization like Eshet Torah. So let me tell you something. There's a day school in Manhattan. Manhattan day the cheder in Manhattan, right? It's called the Manhattan cheder. It's a very good cheder. The head of that cheder is Rav Gideon Goldberg. Before that, he was a principal of Hank. He's my Talmud. Me. There's a fellow in Los Angeles, Rav Shlomo Goldberg. It's a very good day school. He was here several times. He's my Talmud. Me. I'm a nothing. You see what you can do? You take dirt. Rav Noach took dirt and he throws it and he creates people. And there's more and there's more. I'll tell you a few more things. Rav Noach used to learn in the mirror. He had a very special relationship with Rav Lazer Yudel. Rav Lazer Yudel Finkel was the gadol in Europe, and he left the mirror, and brought the mirror to Eretz Israel. And Rav Noach learned there. Rav Noach would learn, and I heard this from Rav Aaron Feldman. He slept three times a day for an hour. So Rav Aaron, excuse me, I'm going to tell a story in the middle of a story. Rav Aaron Feldman came to him. He came to Bnei Israel. So he wanted to learn with Rav Noach. So Rav Noach said, okay, we'll learn from 5 to 6 in the morning. And then I can still go to bed at 6 and wake up at 7:15 for Shacharis. So Rav Aaron told me he lasted for a week. He couldn't do it. And then he discovered that there was only one of Rav Noach's dorm. The man learned 21 hours a day, and he slept three times a day for an hour, and he did it, Rav Aaron told me, for years and years and years. And he wasn't a strong man. But he was determined. So Rav Lazer Yudel wanted him to give a shiur in the mirror. I remember when Eish first opened, and we used to go every Rosh Hashanah Mikvir and learn and David in the mirror, he would get an aliyah amongst the greatest scholars in Israel, Noach, our Rosh Yeshiva. Then when he left to open up the yeshiva, Rav Lazer Yudel was upset at him. But he said it was the right thing to do. So he would go every week to Bnei Brak, and he would discuss communal issues with the stipler. When the stipler died, he went to Rav Shach, and he would go every week. And I know that when he walked into Ponovich, Rav Shach would stand up, not like we do. He stood up until Rav Noach got to him, and then he sat down. Rav Shach. So I asked Rav Noach. He says, Shach doesn't think I can learn better than him. But for some reason, he thinks that I'm accomplishing something for the Jewish people. Rav Noach couldn't figure it out. Once, you know, Rav Shach used to have Kabbalat Kahal, or hours, to receive the people. And there was a guy there who would prepare food and bring it out. One day, the fellow comes in and he sees Rav Shach is in the kitchen preparing some food, cutting up the fruit and pouring some drink. So he says, excuse me, but that's my job. So he says, no, it's okay. And he goes out. Who's sitting there? Rav Noach is sitting there. He says, I am going to serve Rav Noach. Rav Shach says, I'm going to serve Rav Noach. Once Rav Noach was going to come to America, he was going to raise funds once. He came. So right then, Chacham Abu Chatzera was the Kabbalist of our generation. He just moved from Bnei Brak, Netivot. To my neighborhood. So we convinced Rav Noach to go visit Chacham Abu Chatzera. So he went in. I asked him afterwards, Rebbe, what happened? You got a bracha? He said, I don't know. I walked in, and he jumped up. He grabbed me with two arms, and he said, I don't know who you are, but I'm not letting you go till you give me a bracha. Later on, I saw his gabbai, his attendant, and I asked, is that true? Not that I'm going to question Rav Noach, but, you know, it was like, come on, is this for real? And he says, whoa, you learn with that man? He says, by the way, he gave him a bracha. So when we moved from Bnei Brak, we moved into Navardak, and the Rosh Hashiva of Ben Sion Brook was the Rosh Hashiva of Navardak, both in Bialystok, it was the Stifler's Rosh Hashiva, and then in Yerushalayim. Rav Ben Sion Brook told me that Rav Noach is the tzaddik of our generation. If Rav Noach had a kasha, people don't realize he was a London, he was a scholar. If he had a kasha, he couldn't sleep at night. His head would hurt. And I was told by people that knew that when he found a teretz, he would, sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning, he'd be the only one in the base of matters. She'd start dancing. He'd say, well, I'm a sugar. Ah, got the teretz, now I can go to sleep. And he used to go into churches and pull kids out. And he said, if we had to go to hell to get Jewish kids, that's where we're going to go. He was selfless. He didn't care about anything. I learned for many years with Reb Chaim Uri Freund. He's from the Gedolei Yerushalayim, Reb Noach's Chavrusa. One day I was walking down the street with Reb Chaim Uri, he's a Yerushalmi, you know, a short fellow, a beaver hat to pay his long coat, and he meets another Yerushalmi, one of these people that derided Reb Noach. He says, oh, Reb Chaim Uri, what's macht here? How are you? He says, fine, Baruch Hashem. What's Tutsi, what are you doing? He says, I'm giving a shir now by Reb Noach in Eishet Torah. He says, Eishet Torah, what are you doing in Eishet Torah? So he says, I also want to go to heaven. So the guy goes like this. So then Reb Chaim Uri goes and says, he needed to hear that. People had an appreciation of who Reb Noach is. I came to the yeshiva. I grew up in a religious home. I learned Skokie. I learned Tifrach. I thought I believed in God. I didn't believe in anything until I met Reb Noach. I thought I shtickle a little bit knew how to learn. He taught me what God is. He taught me what Torah is. He taught everything. So clear. He used to say, how many fingers you got? How many fingers? 5 fingers. Are you willing to risk your life on that? 5 finger clarity. You got to know. You look around, thousands of families, over 1 million people a month on Aish.com, 10,000 people in Discovery. And I want you to know, the fastest growing programs in Aish HaTorah today are not Aish HaTorah. It's the religious world. Project Inspire in New York is over 1,000 yeshiva guys, 1,000 balabatim who have committed to go out and learn. If you saw that video that they put out about that Baba Verchassid that can barely speak English, it moves you to tears. He's created an army of guys who live in New York who can't speak English, who are in love with the Jewish people now. Oh, here's a guy who's not religious. Come to my house for Shabbos. And Project Chazon, 22,000 Beis Yaakov girls and yeshiva guys, 22,000 who we have to worry about. We don't have to worry about so much anymore. Finally, he taught us that the Almighty wants something from us. And he taught us that if we want it enough, we can succeed. If we're not succeeding, it's because we don't want it enough. Once we were in the base of Medrash, and he jumped up, he stood up. So everyone sees Reb Noach standing up. So everyone in the base of Medrash stood up, and we turned around, and here's this guy with long frizzy hair, like Jimi Hendrix, short pants, a big backpack and a sleeveless shirt. So, what are you standing up? So Noach says, do you know what that guy's yichus is? Do you know what his descendants are? Well, no, who is his descendant? He says, that's Avram Avinu's and Eneko. He's Abraham's grandson. And you should love him like he's Abraham's grandson. Wow. So he was a leader and he blazed away and he taught us. And he inspired us. We ridiculed him, but he won. But that leaves us with a question. The question is, what do we want? What do we want for our beautiful Jewish people? So I'm going to conclude with some words of one of my chaverim that I just got from Eretz Yisrael. He writes like this: every year we experience that feeling of utter frustration with the story of the spies spent by Moses to check out the land of Israel. We were so close to Mashiach. If only they had listened to Joshua and Caleb, it would have been a done deal. Mashiach would have come. Well, Reb Noach was such a leader. He was calling out to us to listen. And sadly, like the generation of the spies, we didn't listen. And we didn't find a way to work together as a team and to take the opportunity to complete this redemption. Reb Noach wasn't just looking for a way to help another 100,000 Jews come back. He was looking for a way to fix the problem. Like in the days of the spies, let's get the Jews into Israel and let's get this exile over with. Let's get Mashiach here. We blew it. He's gone. Maybe that'll be the only opportunity in our lifetime. When the spies blew it, the Almighty said the generation is going to die out. We got to start new. What have we lost? Our Rebbe's gone. He was such a beautiful man. He cared about everybody so deeply because we're God's children. That's why. He saw the beauty in each and every one of us because he was godly and he looked for that. He wanted to be godly. He looked to us to become godly. Another story. Once I remember, Reb Noach let me stay in the room. I can never understand why. A couple came in. They were bereaved. They were married for 7 years. They had a child. The child died. And they said, "Lis din v'lis dayan. There's no God and there's no judge." So Reb Noach said, "You selfish people, you. You live lives and there's tzaris going on. There's pain and affliction all around you. And you live happy lives. And when it touches you, now there's no justice in the world. You're touched. The Almighty's trying to wake you up. You want a child, suffer a little bit for the pain of the Jewish people." I was in there. I was in the corner. I was shaking. He must have known he was talking to. These people started to cry. They woke up and said, "Rebbe, you're right. You're right. We've been involved in ourselves. We don't look at others." So what have we lost? He left us with unfinished work and a challenge. If we want the Geula, if we want a redemption, if we really want the redemption, then we have to figure out now how to work together. He ain't here anymore. We got to figure out how to do God's will. We don't have his clarity anymore. We're going to have to figure out how to love all Jews, even if they don't dress the same or talk the same, and how to love all human beings. We'll have to figure out how to become godly and see the beauty in every human being. We owe this man our lives. We do. We do. We have to redouble our efforts to complete his vision, and then we'll be able to say, "Umacha Hashem Elokim Dimo Avelponim." There'll be no more death and no more tears, only rejoicing in the streets of Jerusalem.